chapter 13. If you have a Bible with you tonight, Hebrews chapter 13. I appreciate what the Lord's done for us today, don't you? I appreciate God's Word and God's man preaching God's Word today. And appreciate what the Lord's done in my heart and what He's already accomplished for my family and my heart in this meeting. I trust that you'll pray for us tonight, that God would help us. I want to be a blessing to you and try to do it as fast as I can, get out of the way, let some other man preach. But I need God's help. I guess we all do, don't we? I guess we all do. Never get beyond that. Never get beyond needing His touch. So I hope you'll pray for us, that the Lord would help us. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to pray. Thank you for another day of life, Lord. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that your compassions fail not, Lord. It's because of your mercies that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. I appreciate, Lord, you being faithful to me and being so good to me, as the ladies have already sung tonight. I have no complaints, God. I have no, Lord, anything, any gripe or any grievances to turn into you tonight. Lord, you've been so good. You've been far better than what I have been to you. I'm grateful for that. Thank you for saving me and loving me, putting me in the family of God. Thank you for calling me to preach, bringing me unto this present hour of service. And I pray, Lord, now as we stand in this most fearful place, God, that you'd be upon us. As Brother Wayne told us this morning, Lord, I don't desire to be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through us the words of life tonight. I pray that you'd use us a vessel, a mouthpiece, Lord, fit for the Master's use. I pray that people not hear my words, but your word. They'd not see me, you, Lord, but they'd see Christ lifted up. I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, be upon us. Preach the preaching through us, Lord, that needs to be preached tonight. Help me to resign to myself, Lord. I really, Lord, honestly, as I know how to say it, I want no glory. I want no praise or appreciation to come to me. But may Jesus be exalted tonight. May people's hearts be touched. And whatsoever you please do for us, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's probably a good verse that you could say backwards. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. Sounds good either way, don't it? I've thought about that verse a lot of times and thought about what the writer has said here, and I've rejoiced over the fact that Jesus has said that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. But I guess for a long time the context in which this statement was made has eluded me. What the writer is talking about is being content, as Brother Matthias said today, being content with such things as we have. For He hath said, the basis of our contentment, or why we can be content with such things that we have, because He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so I'm grateful tonight for God's everlasting enduring promise, aren't you? That He'll never leave us and that He'll never forsake us, and that this promise is the basis for our contentment. Now, the book of Hebrews, as I said yesterday, the writer has taken a lot of things from the Old Testament economy, a lot of things from the Jewish tradition and from the Hebrew religion, and has showed us how much better Christ is. That's a word that you find repeated throughout the book of Hebrews. Better. Christ is so much better. In fact, He's a better mediator of a better covenant, which is built upon better promises, it says in chapter 8 and verse number 6. And I guess here in chapter number 13, it's the writer's intention through Holy Ghost inspiration to move us on from those truths of our security. Notice back up in verse number 12 that the Bible said that whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, and as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. The secure things in life, what Christ has secured for us in chapter number 13, moves these believers on to live a holy life. I couldn't help but think, maybe you might think this is a strange comparison or a strange thought, but I thought about Acts chapter number 15, where the Bible tells us that some had told new converts that except they be circumcised after the manner of Moses, that they could not be saved. This caused a bunch of disputation, a lot of arguing. But the conclusion that was brought to them said, we couldn't even bear that burden. Our fathers couldn't bear that burden. So we're not going to lay it on anybody else. We believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And so James said, we're not going to lay that burden on them, only that they should abstain from things polluted with idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. So what he's saying is, grace ought to move them on to a holy life. Amen? And we ought to move on in contentment and live the life that God wants us to live. He said in verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Now, I believe that word contentment, or that word content, is something that's missing in our lives today. We're just not content, are we? And because that we're not content with the things that God has done for us and the things that God has blessed us with, then we can't move on and live that life without covetousness. And I want to say this night and tonight and try to preach for a few moments on some things that I am content with. I may not be the perfect example of contentment. I may not be the perfect model for what a content person ought to be. But he said right here, be content with such things as you have, for the Lord hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake me. So we ought to look at some things that we have and wonder tonight, are we content with them? I want to say, first of all, I'm content with salvation, aren't you? Why are you content with salvation? Because he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm content tonight with the salvation that this Bible speaks of. I want to tell you, there's a lot of ways being preached in 2010. We've heard some of them even this week about water baptism and good works and decisional regeneration and just any old kind of way that you want to find to heaven, you can find somebody preaching it in this hour. I'm glad, thank God, I can examine myself and see whether I'm in the faith. It was a blessing in my life when I found out that I didn't have to prove it to you and I didn't have to prove it to everybody else, but I had to prove it to myself that I've been saved by the grace of God. And when you examine this Bible and when you examine what the Scriptures have to say about salvation, you ought to be able to take your experience and prove it to yourself that you've been saved by the grace of God. What kind of salvation does this Bible speak of? Well, salvation in this Bible is not wrapped up in a plan, but it's wrapped up in a person. The hope of glory, the Bible says, is Christ in you. And so Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts according to Ephesians 3 by faith. And the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I'm glad, thank God, that when I look over my salvation experience, I don't have to make sure that I've brought enough good works. I don't have to make sure that I've done enough good deeds or did things to check off the list. I can look back and remember that through the preaching of God's Word, I was convicted of my sin. Somebody said repentance is not a part of the New Testament salvation plan. You better go on down the road. Repentance, my friend, goes with faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this, of the conversion experience of those Thessalonican believers, that they turned from idols to God to serve the living God. And so thank God, the preaching of God's Word, when it sits down in your soul, when it gets beyond your emotions, when it gets beyond your intellect, when it gets beyond your reasoning, and it gets down in the heart of your man, it causes a desire to be created in you to turn from sin. And as you turn from sin, you turn to Jesus Christ and you lay hold on Him by faith. You don't just listen, somebody said, I believe historically in Jesus Christ. Well, so do I. I also believe historically in George Washington. But Mr. Washington has never spoke to my heart and never gave me peace in the night season. And thank God, when I saw him, I lifted up through the preaching of the gospel. And by the way, that's what gospel preaching is. It exalts Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, look at me, and you have to get saved like me. We've all got different experiences. But the one thing common is that all rugged cross was made real to us by the preaching of the Word of God. And by faith, we received Him as Lord and Savior. And I'm content tonight with God's salvation miracle. Yeah. Why are you content with the way you got saved? Because He had said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, they had to go back year after year. Ain't that right? There's always a remembrance of sin. Right? And the conscience was never purged from dead works. The blood of bulls and goats was offered up. Amen? But it never could take away the remembrance of sin. Somebody said, is that my remembrance? No, that's God's remembrance. Huh? Right. See, God didn't forget. He just rolled it back. Ain't that right? By the way, God don't forget anything anyway. See, God forgot everything I used to be. No, the Bible says He chose to remember it no more. Yeah. The devil may remember it. The church may remember it. Your family may remember it. They may choose to remember it, but on the basis of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God hath chosen to remember who you used to be no more. Right? And back under when they slayed the blood of them animals, as remembrance year after year, sure the glory would come down and the smoke would ascend up. Amen? And they could go on in service toward the Lord as a separate and a unique nation. But they always had that date circled on that calendar, didn't they? And they have to do it all over again. But thank God when He come in the world, the Bible said, lo, it is written in the volume of the book of me, I come to do Thy will, O God. As the Bible says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices, Thou hast had no pleasure. No pleasure. Somebody said they did the will of God, but God was not eternally pleased to remit their sin. But when He come in the world, He did offer up a burnt sacrifice. But the God that accepted the sacrifice became the sacrifice. And He offered up Himself by one man's sin and one man's disobedience. Death passed in the world. Sin passed upon all. So by one man, the free gift to be made unto all. And He come down, wrapped Himself up in a body of flesh, hung between heaven and earth, and entered into the heavenlies, and offered up an eternal gift. Now there's no more remembrance of sin. And I'm content with it. Why? Why are you content with it? Because He hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. This is how I think it happened. I understand all them Old Testament saints were justified by faith and a promise, right? Yeah. They looked forward, and it was imputed unto them for righteousness. Amen. For the law was ever given, Abraham was justified by faith. Right? Yeah. Justified by faith. He left out and didn't know where he's going. And he left everything that he knew for somebody that he wanted to learn more about. But God just got in there of Chaldees one of these days and said, come on boy, you follow me. Yeah. And he went out by faith. And he believed by faith. Amen. And so they believed in a promise that was to come, but we believe in a person that's already come. That's exactly right. And so, I believe it like this. Even though they did what God said, even though they performed the sacrifices that God said for them to do, they never had that indwelling spirit, did they? Oh no. But Jesus hung between heaven and earth. They put him in a barred tomb, ain't that right? Thought they had done everything they could do to silence the voice of God, make it as sure as possible. But on that third and appointed day, they was on their way, this always escaped me, but I let it, they was on their way down there, worried about what they was going to do with the stone, ain't that right? But when they got down there, the stone was already rolled away. Oh yes, where have you laid my Lord? Where have you taken him? And the Bible said they supposed it to be the gardener, but they heard his voice. And he walked out on resurrection ground, said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Ain't that right? But the next time you see him over there at the house where the doors were shut and the windows were closed, he's looking at Thomas saying, touch me. Touch me. Somewhere between then and there, he went up to the third heaven, ain't that right? And offered up the blood. Not his own, not the blood, but his own blood. He offered it up, the Bible says, through the eternal spirit, without spot. And God accepted it, and he come down back to earth and told his disciples, I've been accepted, therefore you're accepted. But on that glorious day called Pentecost, even though he rose back up in the heavens, the Holy Spirit came in power, and he didn't surround his people, but he got in his people. And now because of that, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So I'm content with salvation tonight. Aren't you? Salvation ain't you moving into a new realm of truth. Salvation's truth moving into you. Right? Somebody says, well, yeah, salvation's all of grace, but sanctification's you plus God. Oh no, no, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Somebody says, you always pray like you ought to? Not always, but when I don't know what I should pray for, the Spirit maketh intercession for me with groanings. Amen? Thank God for that. Somebody says, you always know the right decision to make. No, but he has promised that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Everywhere I go, he's with me. Somebody said, I left God. How can you leave somebody? Said, I'll never leave you. Huh? I've taken him someplace I'm not proud of, and he's been grieved as a result of it. I'm here to tell you, after several years of being saved by the grace of God, he's held true to his promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And because of that, I am content. Don't try to talk me into something else. Yeah. Somebody said, you live like you know. Oh, I do know. Right? And they may think we're foolish to know, but I mean, my goodness. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal. So you can know. And I don't go in no circle saying I know because I know. Well, how do you know that you know? Well, I just know that I know. Well, how that you know that you know? Well, I know that I know. No, I know because he said.
Yeah.
And I found there's one thing that he said he can't do and won't do, and that's lie. Right? Yeah. The Bible says he that believeth on Jesus Christ is not condemned. Whew! I like that, don't you? I like that business of not living under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Huh? No condemnation. Living presently without condemnation. It's living in liberty, ain't that right? It's living in freedom. You look at me and say, well, the places you go and the places you don't go and the things that you do and the things that you don't do, the things that you wear, the way that you dress, the churches that you go to, that's all bondage. I'm telling you, friend, I'm living in victory. I'm living in liberty. I'm living in freedom. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again. again in the yoke of bondage. I'm content that He set me free to love Him and to serve Him and to live for Him. I just couldn't do that. I was held down by the bondage of sin, and sin was my slave master, and all I could do was sin. But now I've been liberated to live freely and righteously and godly, not when I get to heaven, but in this present world. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not in bondage. Huh? And don't you come around trying to put me in bondage. Yeah. I'm free. And I'm content with salvation. Man, I'm content with the Scriptures, aren't y'all? Why are you content with the Scriptures? Because He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake me. Right? Yeah. Oh, this one time, I've probably told y'all this before, but let me tell it again, because it just fits what I'm trying to say so well. This one time I was sitting at lunch, one of the first jobs I worked after I got out of college, and I was sitting at the lunch break at the table. We only got about 30 minutes, so I took my Bible and laid it one side and took my lunch the other side, and I'd read as I ate. And see, when God called me to preach, this is how I had it figured. I better know, amen, what He had to say about things. So I tried to digest that book, and I'm nowhere near where I need to be in the knowledge of the Scriptures, but I'm telling you, that book's a precious treasure, isn't it? Yeah. It ain't just some other encyclopedia. That's God's Word. It don't just contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver trying the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them. And I know the modern revisers like to change that, but the old manuscript says, thou shalt keep them, and what's in focus is the words. Right? Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them for this generation, forever. And most Baptists believe that God can preserve their souls, but they don't believe God can preserve the Scriptures. Well, I believe He can do it both, don't you? I believe we have what God wants us to have. And I was sitting there reading one day. I was reading about Josiah, that godly king in the Old Testament, about the revival that they experienced under the godly reign of that godly king. But then I read about what happened after he died, how they slipped down the slippery slope of apostasy and finally went into captivity. And I sat there and I began to weep. And I was weeping at what I read. And why'd you weep, Brother Crick? Because I saw my nation in those pages. I saw how God blessed us, but how we've seemingly spurred the blessings of God and are going our own way, and we're going down a slippery slope. Ain't that right? And so I began to weep and began to cry. This old boy parked up beside me. He said, what you weeping about? I said, well, and I began to tell him. He said, I don't understand. He said, I don't want to hear nothing about that Bible. And he said, I've heard that stuff all my life. He said, it's not so. I said, what do you mean? Why do you say it's not so? He said, that Bible, its main character is Jesus Christ. That's more than most Baptists know. And this boy wouldn't even say. Listen, if you can't see Him on every page, you ain't reading it right. Ain't that? That's exactly right. He hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And somebody said, I want to see God. I want God to reveal Himself to me. Well, open up His book, quiet your spirit, and let Him speak to you through the pages of His book. Anyway, He said, that book's about a man who we don't even know existed or not, supposedly died over 2,000 years ago, and now it's all myths. It's all fables. He said, honestly, he said, believe, Chris, I don't believe somebody as educated. I'm not very educated. I've got a 4-year degree. I'm trying to teach myself a lot of stuff like Brother Wayne said, and I'm not very far down the road. I said, yeah, I've got an education. He said, surely somebody as educated as what you are would not believe that kind of stuff, wouldn't believe that kind of dead book. I said, Jimmy, I believed it so much one night, it saved my soul. Right? And I believe the Bible. And I believe the Bible before I believe you. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said, I struggle with what everybody says. And you hear a lot, man. When you come to camp meeting or go to other meetings, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. Yeah. Don't take it because I said it or somebody else said it just because you got confidence in me. We're subject to fail. But He cannot lie. Right? And so if you'll take that book and pray, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He'll show you the blessed treasures of that book. Can I say something right quick, kindly, in the context of the verses? Notice what it says. Isn't it amazing, right before He talks about contentment, He says, marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Then He goes on into contentment. I have to talk about marriage. So can I say right quick, I'm content with my spouse. Huh? I ain't looking for another. Why are you content with her? Because He had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And He's held true. 5 years He's held true. Can I get over into a little personal experience now? If y'all will permit me. Right after me and Allison got married. And it was a miracle. If I had time, I'd tell you about how we got married, but I ain't going to. But anyway, right after, because I want to hear somebody else preach. But after we got married, Brother Michael, and you know about this and some of you others, man, I went through a bad, bad, bad storm. My nerves started bothering me real bad. And I started doubting everything, man. You tell me the sky was blue and the grass was green, and I'd doubt it. I'd doubt it. And I got to the point where I said, Lord, I'm not even sure if I know You. I'm not even sure if I've ever seen anything in the Bible. I'm not even sure if I've ever... I just didn't know. And man, that went on about 4 months. And I remember, I got so scared, Brother Hyatt, because I thought, this precious woman has married me thinking I'm a preacher and thinking I'm strong in the faith, and now she's actually seeing how... Because you won't know what the fact of the matter is. Everybody thinks something about you, but she knows the truth about you. Yeah. That's kind of sobering, ain't it? Yeah, but it's the truth. But anyway, I struggled bad. I remember one night, I rolled out, it was about 2:30 in the morning, something like that. And I rolled out and I said, I don't want to wake her up. I got to have some help. I got down and started praying. I tried to be as quiet as I could, Brother Danny. I didn't want to wake her up. And I said, God, help me, please help me. I don't feel like this, Lord. I won't be like this. Whatever You got to do, God, get me out of this. If I need to repent of something, just show me. It's like them heavens were brass, what He was talking about today. I looked up, and I didn't even hear. And I thought eventually she's going to get up one night and just pack her bags and head on out and say, I'm tired of this mess. But I looked over, and there she was, stretched out right beside me in the floor, saying, God, please help him. God, please help him. God, please help him. And I said, honey, you've got every right to leave in order. She said, No, I don't. And you want to know what God did? He settled in around our house and helped us. Brought us through that. I remember her saying one time, she said, we was praying one night, she said, honey, she said, I feel like Satan himself is walking up and down the halls of our house laughing at us. But one day, buddy, we was getting ready to go somewhere, and I said, honey, I'm feeling bad again. She hugged me up, and we began to rock back and forth and sway as I cried. And about that time, we started singing, I want to stroll all over heaven with you. And God settled in that place. And I want to tell you, I made a commitment to her. And she made a commitment to me. But God's made a commitment to us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So I'm content with the one God gave me. Right? Last days they'd be marrying and giving in marriage, and that's exactly what they're doing. A lot of you are sitting here right now thinking, man, if this don't work out, I'll just dump her on the side of the road. And some of you young people are going on your passion, and you're letting your lust guide you instead of the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's better to wait and let God put His finger on the... I never thought it would happen. I thought y'all were fanatics. I thought y'all were lying to me. I want to tell you, one night, sitting out on the front porch of her house, I guess I'll go ahead and tell it anyway. We were sitting on that front porch. We just had got in from this meeting about 5 years ago or something like that. She'd come up with one of her friends. I'd stay back for a day to deer hunt, and then I'd come home on Saturday, and as I got back into Marshall County, I said, well, I'll just go see Allison tonight. And we're sitting there, we're talking about the different things that had happened in the meeting. It was the last time that I ever got to hear Brother Cook preach. And I don't know if some of y'all remember, but Brother Cook preached that morning in power. I never have had anybody to sign my Bible, but I got Brother Cook to sign my Bible that day. And I'm forever glad that I did. He's done gone to heaven. But I can remember now that man of God preaching, and he prayed again. And we was talking about that stuff. And about that time, the Holy Ghost, you may think I'm a fanatic, but it happened just as sure as I'm standing on my 2 feet, the Holy Ghost nudged my heart and said, "Crank me out loud for being saved." So I did. Said, "Thank me out loud for calling you to preach." So I did. Said, "Thank me out loud for the good camp meeting that you got to be in." So I said, "Allison," I said, "Lord's touched my heart." I said, "I want to thank you for the good meeting and all these blessings." Then the Holy Ghost whispered to me, and I know it, you couldn't talk me out of it if you tried. He said, "Thank me out loud for this woman that you're going to marry."
Amen.
Of course, I didn't say that. I just said, "Honey, I appreciate you. And I'm glad you got some help." And I had to pray about that some more. I hadn't even told her that I loved her yet, had I, honey? I had not even told her that I loved her yet. But I went back. I told Allison, I said, "Man, God's a tough." I said, I need to go be by myself for a little while. And I went home and I shut the door and I turned out the lights. And I run my head up under my bed and I said, "God, is this you?" And he said, "Yes, yes, yes." I said, "Could it be? I'd have never thought it'd be her, but it is her, and I'm content because God's going with us every step of the way." Yeah. And I'm content. I'm content. Somebody said, "Have y'all got $1 million? Have you got a mansion?" No. But every now and again, God parts by 1337 Bowman Road and is helping us, and I am content. Completely satisfied. Completely satisfied.
Amen.
See, after a while, a lot of them things you think's driving you right now kind of flame out. Right? That's exactly right. And I love her just as much today, and more so than when I married her. But I'm going to tell you what, had it not been for the good grace of God, amen, and Him walking with us, never forsaking us. Never has. We've been praying about this matter to have a baby. And we talked about it on the way over here, talking about contentment. And I said, we're keeping some foster boys and trying to help them foster boys out. 7-year-old, I'm not saying anything we did, 7-year-old come home first day of school and they did a little quiz about who you are and what you want to be. I'm talking about a boy that's never been around nothing. Never been around nothing. Didn't even know what John 3:16 said. Never had heard it. Knew nothing about church. He come in from the first day of second grade and said, "Look at this sheet. My favorite color is blue. What's the name of my school? D-A-R. What's your favorite book?" He couldn't even spell it right, but he wrote Bible. And what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, when he first came to us, he wanted to be a policeman or a fireman. I can't even remember. But he wrote right there. Didn't even spell it right, but he said, "Preacher. Preacher. Preacher. Preacher." And I told my wife, she said, "We've helped these boys, haven't we?" And I said, "I think God's used us to help them." I said, "What if we never have a baby?" I said, "Are you content?" She said, "I'm content. I'm content." Why? How could you be content with that? Because He hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." I'll tell you, Brother Dollar, that message you preached last night at home about that meekness, about that resignation to the will of God, drove home, buddy. I appreciate it. I really do. It's a hard thing to do. It used to never bother me. And she'd cry about it, and I'd try to weep with her, but it never really got to me. But now that we've had these boys in our home and What joy. I mean, there ain't nothing like holding that little 8-month-old. He's not even mine. I know he's not mine. I won't even let them call me daddy. Because I know they're going to go home. And I don't know if I could take one of them looking up at me and saying daddy and then having to go back home. I don't know how I could take that. So it's always been Chris and Allison. So here the last few months, I've got mad. And I said, Lord, all these dope heads out here, all these drunkards and meth heads, seem like they can have kids left and right. And then we're struggling, and I said, it just ain't right. And it just ain't fair. But when he preached that last night, the Holy Ghost rung in my heart and said, how dare you tell me what's fair, what ain't fair. So I'm going to say, Lord, I'm content. Why? Because he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. If we never take that test and get that plus sign, as long as he'll walk with us, as long as he'll talk with us, as long as I can feel that tug on my heart to preach the Word of God and live for him and serve him and honor him, I'm content. What about you? You content? Sir, you look at that woman beside you. Are you content with her? Are you content with God's perfect salvation? Huh? Are you content? How can you be content? He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. Appreciate you letting me preach to you. I'm done. Thank you, Brother Melby.
I want you to stand, please.